All right. Well, we would like to thank everyone who's been involved this year, from those involved in making Awana run, the helpers and the workers and kids for being here, parents and everyone for bringing them. All of that together makes it what it is, and the opportunity for these young people to spend some time together, getting to know each other better, and growing in their relationship with God. And if you've enjoyed that opportunity for your kids this year, we would like to invite everyone. You can pick some of these up. We put them at the reception center in the lobby. Well, we've got Neighborhood Bible Time coming up the last full week of June, June 25th through 29th. And that's sort of like, it's sort of like Awana packed into 1 week in the summer. It's like summer camp. And some of it's similar to Awana. Some things we do a little different. But if you enjoy Awana, your kids will also enjoy that. So you can pick these up at the reception center. We love to have all these young people part of that as well. Well, in Awana, they take time to spend time in God's Word. And that's what we're going to do tonight. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 in your Bibles tonight. And obviously, if you should have picked up on even the whole part of this of the ceremony, the award ceremony here tonight, is centered around the time in these books that they get. Memorizing sections, which are mostly made up of verses. Sometimes they'll memorize definitions of words like justification, sanctification, reconciliation, learning what all of these things are related to God's Word and what it means for our lives. And that's really what each of these awards tonight were centered around, an understanding of God's Word. Why is that so important? Well, let's read Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, and let's see the instruction that we see here as it relates to God's Word and our lives. So Joshua chapter 1, look at verses 7 through 9. If you don't have a Bible, just listen. It says this: "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And really, verse 7, what it lays out for us is the way what our lives should look like. So look at that again. Verse 7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that you may be able to observe to do according to all the law that Moses commanded thee." And even people that don't even know God's Word, Scripture tells us that on the heart and conscience of every person who's ever lived, there are certain things about morality that God has written into the very fabric of who and what we are. We know what's right. We know how we should live. And so how is it that we are going to be able to be what we should be, to be what God wants us to be? And this is what Joshua 1, verses 7 through 9 lays out, that reality of how we can be in our hearts and lives what God wants us to be. And in a very real way relates to God's Word. And verse 8 gives us how that works. Verse 8 says this: "This book of the law, then, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." How is it that someone comes to an understanding of what God has done for us, of who and what He is for us? It's through God's Word. And primarily it says meditating in it how often? Day and night. All the time. Now, what does it mean to meditate? There's all kinds of definitions, but again, one of the most helpful ideas to me is the idea, if we could somewhat state it in a way, again, you know, meditation. Your meditation is thrown out there in a lot of different contexts today. Meditation, from a scriptural perspective, has this idea. It's the idea of a consuming preoccupation. Now, what does it mean to have a consuming preoccupation with something? I guarantee that every one of us knows what it means to have a presuming preoccupation. For all you adults out here, let's say each month as the bills come in, as you're opening each bill, you have a rough idea of generally what those bills are going to be, right? Have you ever had one of those months where you open a bill and all of a sudden it's $100, $200, $300 more than it normally is? Would you say at that point in time, all of a sudden you've got a consuming preoccupation? For sure. Or for all you young people, perhaps it's as you're in school and you get that report card. Yeah. We know where this is going, right? And you open it up and you thought for this one class you did really well and not the grade you expected. And usually that means it's lower than what you thought it was going to be. All of a sudden you've got a consuming preoccupation, right? Oh no, what are mom and dad going to think? How did this happen? Maybe you run to the teacher and all of these things. So when we talk about consuming preoccupation, all of us, we know exactly what it is. And that's the idea of what we're talking about. And an illustration from nature would be that of consuming preoccupation like a lion or a tiger who's hungry and who's on the prowl, that's on the hunt, that is looking for that prey, that is sneaking up on that prey. Nothing else can distract them. And that's what God's Word should be for our hearts and for our lives. And that's the answer to our need. And that starts, first of all, where? With the realization, if you're here tonight and you've never placed your faith and trust in Christ, you realize that you're a sinner. This life that's talked about in verse 7 of being able to follow God and love Him and live a life that honors Him, none of us can do that in and of ourselves. We fall very far short of God's standard. And Scripture says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all fall short of the standard of God's Word and the life that He lays out for us. But thank the Lord, He doesn't leave us hopeless. You know what He did for us? He sent His Son to earth to live the life that we could not live, and He gave His life on the cross. He died for your sins and my sins in our place. And then 3 days later, He rose from the dead that we might know of a new life, of resurrected life with Him, of life anew. And that understanding comes from God's Word. And He moves in. He begins to change our lives from the inside out. Things we could never do in our own strength before. You have the life of Christ within you. And that comes through God's Word. And that's why we tie all this together in Awana. Everything that they do is ultimately tied back into God's Word, helping them memorize that and meditate that. And that's the challenge for you as you leave here this year. You know, as you take those Awana books home for the last time tonight, hopefully it doesn't get slid under your bed and you leave it there. These verses that you've memorized, allow God to take them and meditate on them. Look through them over the summer. This idea, let them become your consuming preoccupation. Let them be the focus of your heart and your life. But also this word for, obviously this means then, when you talk about meditation as it relates to what Scripture says, it means actually to fill your mind. And you're filling your mind with Scripture. Again, the very opposite of what you find out in the world. Meditate, empty your mind and you enter this state of whatever. Meditation from a scriptural perspective is filling our minds with God's Word, allowing His Word to guide and direct our steps. And then it's a deliberate choice. It's something we have to make a choice to do in our hearts and in our life. And then it's going to evidence itself in our lives. It's going to, if it's something that we're focused on, something we're excited about, and things all of a sudden, it's things as you see things coming together in your own life, things you're getting excited about, perhaps something you've looked forward to for a long time. Maybe it's a vacation. Maybe it's getting together with some friends you haven't seen in a long time. You're excited about that. And what happens? You start telling other people about it. That's the same thing when we get into God's Word and it changes our lives. It will work itself out in our hearts and in our lives. So how do you see this played out? Actually, verses 8 and 9 are actually the theme of the whole book of Joshua. And what you see throughout the rest of the book is illustrations of this principle from Israel's history as it demonstrates God's blessing when His people obey and honor Him and they're meditating on His Word and living out His Word as they're meditating, constantly thinking about God and what He wants. And it points out this, knowledge of God's law is not enough. Most people know, we know what is right. So it's not knowledge that's enough. But it's allowing God's Word to change us from the inside out, where we're truly showing a respect for the lawgiver. Not knowing what the standard is and trying to live up to it, but having God change us from the inside out. That's two different things. And the only way that can happen is through a relationship with God. There are so many people in this world, in churches across our nation and across our world, where people are trying to live up to some standard. Whether the church has created it, whether they've created it for themselves. This is what I need to do to earn some respect and favor with God. If I'm a good person, if I follow the golden rule, if I go to church, if I try to be a respectful person in society, hold down a job, provide for my family, and not that we shouldn't do any of those things. But none of those things earn us favor with God. Jesus Christ once and for all accomplished what was needed for us to have God's favor. And that's what we need in our hearts and in our lives, for us to be able to live out this life that God has for us. And just some application for us as we think about this as believers. One author put it this way, again, thinking about this, excuses we might throw out in our own lives, whereas perhaps you've gotten complacent with your preoccupation with God's Word. One author had this to say. He said, "But this plea, I'm too busy to engage in regular and spiritual meditation, is an idle excuse. Yea, it's worse, it is deceit of your evil heart. It's not because you are short of time, but because you lack a heart for the things of God." You see, Matthew 6:21 says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And that which most occupies our heart will most engage the mind. Again, the illustrations I mentioned at the beginning of consuming, what consumes, what preoccupies our mind and our thoughts. And there's different things along the path of life that come up that take up our attention. What is it today that has rivaled your attention for God and His Word? What is it that has drawn you away from what God's plan is for your heart and for your life? And he says this, "For our thoughts always follow our affections." Where are you at tonight? And I know as adults, with families, with children, with jobs, with responsibilities, with homes, with, you know, things that come up you weren't expecting, the car breaks down, trying to pull things together in life. And there are so many other things that we can get preoccupied with that pull us away from the attention that we should be putting and centering around God's Word. He says this then, "Consequently, as a result, the smallest actions, when we have no delight in them, are tedious and burdensome." You know, perhaps as we think about this in application, when it comes to God and His Word, it might be, if we're totally honest, it might be that it's just boring. Perhaps the reason we're not spending the time in God's Word that we should is because we really don't find delight in it. It's actually that we do find more delight in other things. Spending time relaxing on the internet, in our hobbies, whatever it is. Yes, we're active for God. We're where we're supposed to be. We're going to church. We're putting our time in. But it's not really God and the things of God and His Word that consume us. That's the focus of our life that drives us. And we wonder, and then we wonder why our life feels lifeless and dead. It's because God isn't the passion of our heart and of our lives. And then he illustrates it this way. He says, "Is not money that which most absorbs the attention of the miser? The pleasure thinker thinks only of satisfying his senses. The giddy young person is concerned mainly with the pursuit of fun. The man of the world devotes his time and energies to acquiring wealth and honors. It is not the lack of opportunity, but of the relish for the word and a desire to please God, which lies at the root of our failure here. David said in Psalm 119:97, "Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day." He evidenced his love for God and his word by constantly pondering it. It was the passion of his life. And too often we're looking for what's the next thing in our life. And sad to say, sometimes we're even looking for, sometimes even in our churches, we're looking for what's the next thing, what's the next event, what can we change to bring passion to my life? And what do we need to change is our heart for God and His Word. We can get even distracted with many good things and many right things. And doing more things. And losing heart for, in the process, what really matters. Looking for satisfaction in the wrong places. One author has said this, "There's a God-shaped hole in every life that only God can fill." And living a worldly life, trying to fill that with fame, money, drugs, the weekend, and all that goes along with it, isn't going to fill that hole. And living the life of a good church person, being where you're supposed to be, being involved, getting active, isn't going to fill that void either. Only God can. And that's where we need to live our lives. That's what we need the center of our lives to be. To this kind of a person, then, meditation is not a task, but a joy. And again, what is it that we're living for? And too often the temptation is to live for something. If I could just have life this way, if I could just get that, I'd be happy. And perhaps maybe for you kids as you sit here, maybe it's your birthday that you're looking forward to. Or perhaps if your birthday's gone, you're looking forward to Christmas already. And you've got your list that you're making. You know, for some of you, you're so on top of things, you've probably already got a list and maybe you've already given it to mom or dad. And it's oftentimes that's where we live our life. We're looking to that next thing to bring excitement. And we need to find our excitement and our joy in God. You know what Scripture says about this, about God's Word? Ultimately, for the ultimate purpose of our hearts and life, it says this, "These things have I written unto you, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." And why is it that in Awana, God's Word and the memorization of it is such a key part of what these young people do? Because eternal life, your relationship to God, is centered around what God says in His Word. And yes, each and every one of us tonight, as we're sitting here tonight, your relationship to God hinges on what God says about you and your relationship to Him in His Word. That's why this is critical. That's why it's such a big deal in Awana. That's why all these awards are centered around that idea. Because your eternal life, whether you spend life forever with God or separated from God in a place called hell, hinges upon your relationship to Him as He defines it in His Word. Not what you think about your relationship to God. Not what your church says about your relationship to God. Not what I think about your relationship to God. But what you know your relationship to be to God when you sit down with God and His Word and what He has to say about our hearts and our lives. That's why when you come here to this place, what we do is going to be centered around His Word. When it comes to Awana, when it comes to, we mentioned neighborhood Bible time, there's a lot of Bible woven into that as well. Because everything in our lives hinges on this reality, our relationship to God, and the importance of God's Word in our hearts and in our lives. So as we close then tonight, to believers, how's it going in your heart and life, the meditation that you need? And as you look at the last part of verse 8, what's the result when we meditate, give ourselves day and night, when we're preoccupied with God and what He wants for our hearts and lives? The last part of verse 8 says, that thou mayest observe then to go, do according to all that is written therein. God provides the ability through His Word and our time with Him in His Word to change our lives from the inside out. Not trying to live up to a standard, but truly seeing the standard fulfilled from the inside out. That's totally different living. And then the result, the last, again, the end of the verse, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's it. He's basically saying true success, true satisfaction in life is found when centering our heart and our life, being preoccupied, finding our joy in God and who and what He is as revealed in His Word. And letting life unfold and spill out from that point on. God's Word helps us do that. And young people, again, as we mentioned, what about you this summer? All this stuff, all these things you've memorized, looking forward to this table here tonight, and you know the awards that some of you are still playing with in your hands right now. Yes, really, some of them still have, they're rubbing them in their hands up here. Got them down by their sides. More important than even those awards, what about the verses that you've memorized? Are you going to take those over the summer and allow God to use them and apply them to your heart and to your life? Then maybe there's some clubbers here tonight, perhaps parents, friends, and family. What about you? I wonder, do you need Jesus? You know, God sent His Son for you so that you might know of your sins forgiven in a relationship with God. God wants to change your life from the inside out and forgive your sins and know of a relationship with God. That's what God wants for you and for me. The question is, where are you at? Have you placed your faith and your trust in Christ? Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight as we close. Just two quick questions as we close. Again, we won't embarrass anyone, but just want to get a response from you all this evening. How many of you would say tonight, I do know for sure that my sins are forgiven and I do have a relationship with God. I've placed my faith and trust in Him alone. If that's you, just slip your hand up tonight. And as you slip it up, you can put it right back down. All right? Several tonight, you can put your hands down. Maybe there's someone here tonight, how many would say, you know, I don't know for sure that my sins are forgiven and that I have a relationship with God, and that's a concern to me. I'm concerned about that.